You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back to Mino the Mayor with Mike Pritzwell filling in. Todd, can I get some introduction music? Do you have anything?
What would you like?
Just something kind of dramatic, sort of what we got. Some good intro music here for our guests.
All right. Can you fill for a second?
Yeah,
maybe
give
a forecast
for
a second.
Forecast rain changes to snow today. High of 38, 38 degrees in Green Bay today. Right now, 37 in Appleton, 38 in Oshkosh here, 97.9 FM, WGBW 98.3 and 96.5 FM, WISS, of course, the Civic Media app, 1590 and 1100 AM on your amplitude modulation dial. Mike Pritzel filling in.
John.
Hang on. And now, from the small town of Dawson, Minnesota, a young man grew up with huge feet and huge hands, somewhat uncoordinated at times, but he grew into his body. His main sport was football, following in the footsteps of his legendary father, who played for Norm Van Brocklin and the Atlanta Falcons in 1967. But this young man grew up not only with gridiron dreams, but he wanted to make a name on the hard court. He turned down scholarship offers from some of the finest football junior colleges in Minnesota and South Dakota. Fergus Falls, Vermilion, Mesabi State. He said, no, I want to be a basketball player and play in the National Basketball Association. Was he doubted? Every step of the way. Did he listen to the naysayers? No. He pursued that dream. And yes, you can look it up. This young man from Dawson, Minnesota, going one-on-one with the greatest basketball player ever to lace up the Reeboks, Michael Jordan. He shut Jordan down. Jordan talks about it to this day. And now, joining us on this humble little radio show, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Nordgaard.
What's going on, gentlemen? What's going on?
Hello, Nordy. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Some of that stuff was accurate. Some of that stuff, yeah.
Which part wasn't?
I did have big feet and big hands, yeah.
Yeah? And which part wasn't true? Everything was factually based to a certain extent.
Pretty much everything was true except for you were the one that got recruited by the junior colleges in Minnesota. I did not get recruited by Vermilion and Mesabi and Fergus Falls.
I made the story better, Norgie. You made the story better. Right? Hey, I just got a text here. Congratulations to your son for making second team all conference.
Appreciate it. Yeah, he had a nice year, and the team was really, really good, and it was a fun team to follow and a lot of success.
That being Michigan Tech?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, we were down in Springfield, Illinois for the D2 NCAA tournament this past weekend, and Michigan Tech won their first game and then lost to Lake Superior State, who won last night to win the regional. So it was a fun season.
That's awesome. Just got a text here from Mark Houston. Ask Jeff the best board game to play in college and who won consistently.
Is he referring about my Trivial Pursuit prowess?
Must be. Jeff and I, we tell this story all the time. Jeff and I started playing Trivial Pursuit in the parking lot at UW Green Bay.
Really?
One day. Jeff, when did that game end?
Gosh, I mean, Didn't we?
Parking lot of Butler in Indianapolis.
that's when it was Indianapolis. That one. Okay. All right.
And
yeah,
it came down to the last question.
A nice long contest.
We wouldn't let anybody off the bus.
You were quite the pole.
It was competitive, like you can't believe. And Jeff was the most competitive human being I've ever been around in my life, and I really and truly mean it. He hates to lose at Trivial Pursuit as much as he'd hate to lose a basketball game.
Well, I was going
to
say then, between the two of you, because you're not a real good loser either. So
I've mellowed out a bunch since my youth. That's for sure.
Hey Jeff,
I found it doesn't get you very far in your 40s and 50s to get upset when you lose and get mad at people.
That's the truth. We are just talking here. You and I talked last night, and Mike, of course, part of this. 31 years ago, we're all in Ogden, Utah, and everybody talks about the game against California and Jason Kidd and Gary Gresham, the whole thing. But what people don't talk about, and you'd almost have to be there to understand this, the team we played, and I always say we because, like I said, if Dick Bennett wouldn't let me eat pizza with you guys, I was part of the whatever, but that Syracuse game, which took place today, 31 years ago, that team was, I think, the best team, one of the top three or four best teams UW-Green Bay basketball has ever played against. They had I checked out, they had four guys that spent time in the NBA off that one team, and you guys could have beat them. And nobody ever talks about that Syracuse game, how great that team was playing in the NCAA tournament second round. And Mike was courtside. Mike was on the floor.
John,
do you remember that team?
I do, but one of the crazy things is, and I know like the things that I talk about mean absolutely nothing, but I got in trouble at that game too.
With fans?
No, with the other mascot, because had these those boxing gloves.
Oh, yeah.
And I was pretending to beat up the mascot, and then they come and
I'm
told me.
What was their mat?
An orange. It was
the orange. That's right. The big, just fat orange.
So I was punching the orange. Well, it turns out it was a female inside there, and I was punching. Yeah, and I got in trouble for
yada, yada, yada. Blah, 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 blah. It's a female.
Yeah.
People
forget about that game because they shouldn't. And when I say we, because that's how I trade it, we should have won that game.
We were that close to the Sweet 16, right, Nargi?
We were. I mean, we had a shot on the baseline by John Martinez that would have put us up one that rimmed out. And then we ended up losing, I don't know, was it 4 points or 5 points? But that was with a minute left or under a minute. And we had our chances. But you're right, John. They were loaded. Adrian Autry, Lawrence Moten, Otis Hill, John Wallace, they were really loaded. They were long at the guards, long at the wings, long at the bigs to be really aggressive with their 2-3 zone and made it difficult on us early in the game because we weren't used to that. But we were able to persevere and get ourselves in a position where it almost could have been our game, and we could have been Sweet 16 that year.
I remember Logan Vandervelden, who had some incredible, wonderful games for Green Bay at 6-7 or whatever, from the wing shooting. And I remember one time he had a shot deflected or something from their guards where that, and it's like, ooh, we've never quite experienced this before where our 6-7 guy is getting a shot blocked 25 feet away from the basket. Remember that, Norgie, how long their arms were?
I do. I had a 3-point attempt blocked as well. I thought I was wide open, and I think it was John Wallace that got to it. They were so long. I mean, obviously Boeheim recruited length for a reason to fit into his 2-3 zone, so he didn't have to teach him how to play man-to-man defense. But he had the length. He recruited the length, and it was unique to play against a team like that for sure.
Guys, do you remember one of the really special things I thought and remember to this day about that facility? Do you guys remember what the color of the inside
purple.
Of that?
Purple.
Okay, so it's purple. So
every seat was purple.
Seat
it was amazing.
Purple. But what was really neat about and what happens when you're, we were a 12 seat? Were
yes,
we a 12 seat?
5.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happens
which
is.
Which is GB women are
yeah, which,
Saturday.
Which is fun is because when you're in that facility and it happened, started in the Cal game, is you've got your fans, right? And then as the game goes on, you start to get everybody else's fans because they want to see the big teams get upset. And I remember that feeling of hearing that stadium, not just in the Cal game, but in the Syracuse game. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, people really want. I mean, we, number one, we should be here. We're here. and we have a chance to win. Yeah. And it was a pretty special. John, I'm sure you've, Jeff, I'm sure you probably felt that on the court.
So, you know, it's funny because I don't realize it while I'm playing, or I didn't actually when back then. I didn't realize that the momentum of the fans was on our side in both games. But watching it, you know, afterwards and in adult life, I see, okay, they wanted us to win. And I know that from just watching every NCAA tournament game, when there's a big underdog like a 12-5 or, you know, 15-2 or something like that, the stadium that are the neutral fans, they get behind the underdog, that's for sure.
We were
a 12-5. I tell people that we were the original 12-5. I don't know if it's true. You don't have to fact check me. I know Mino doesn't always use factual information when he introduces.
Wow,
Jeff.
Really, Todd?
But I always tell people we were the original 12-5 upset. And maybe it's because I didn't hear about it before then, and obviously now it's something that's brought up every year around NCAA tournament time when you're filling out your brackets. So don't fact check me, but that's what we can all run with it if we want.
Hey Jeff, I just got a text here. Can Jeff still take his nephew one on one?
Well, I got a bunch of nephews, so there are a few of them that I still can.
Well,
but then then there are some others that I can't, and I'm sure he's talking about Con too. And the answer would be absolutely not.
Where's he going to be drafted in the NBA, Jeff? Top 10, obviously, right?
Well, I've seen anywhere from 6 to 12 recently. I don't know that he's going to get higher than 6, but the performance during the ACC tournament had to have helped his draft stock to show people that he can be a number one. I knew it, but he can be a number one on the biggest stage. For a team when, you know, Cooper Flagg went out and he's been a super stud all season. But Con 2 is a one that because of the roster that Duke has, he gets to be a let's call it a two or a role player, but it's not really a role player. He's a stud too, second team all conference. Should have been a first teamer, but I was glad that he got the opportunity to shine on a big stage, and show what his level is.
We're talking about Jeff's nephew who plays for Duke, one of the top players in the entire country. You know, Jeff, I still have to laugh. Remember every year I'd be scrambling to put a team together for Nagani, as you were part of. And I remember one year you couldn't play, and you said, "Hey, I got a guy for you. He's one of the best shooters I've ever seen in my life." I'm like, "Come on, really?" And you're like, "No, Johnny. I'm telling you, this is one of the greatest shooters you'll ever see in basketball." And it was Con Knipple, who's then married Sherry Norgaard. They weren't even going out at the time, I don't think, right, Norgie?
Yeah, I can't remember if they were or not, but but somewhere in that timeline it was pretty close. But yeah, he was the best shooter I knew from mid-range, from three, from post-ups.
Norgie, hang on. Stick around for 1 minute break. We'll be right back with Jeff Norgaard.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor with Mike Pritzel, KBB filling in today. Jeff Norgaard on the phone. Jeff, tell me a little bit about the state of college basketball right now. You know, I talked with Coach Bennett in, I don't know, October, September, whatever, and he told me that Tony just, the game just isn't what he bought in for, you know what I mean, where everybody wants to be a coach and everything like that, and Jay Wright and some really good people have walked away from the game. Where is it right now, Jeff, the game of college basketball, and how is that going to affect Green Bay?
Sure, yeah, you know, obviously for us as fans, it's a little more difficult to follow the sport because we grew up on, you know, guys that were playing for the schools that we love to cheer for, you know, 3, 4, sometimes 5 years.
Right.
And so you got to be connected with players and not just the programs. And you followed them. And it was, I mean, I remember back in the 80s, I could tell you the starting lineups for about everybody in the ACC, the Big East, the Big Ten. We'd watch Big Monday every Monday and play cards. And, And it was a blast because we knew these guys and could, recite all the guys' names. Now it's hard to, name 10 players. And it's not because the players aren't good and excellent and talented. They're probably more talented than they've ever been. But with the player movement being what it is, we don't get to be connected, and we kind of lose touch on college players to become stars in college. They don't become stars really until they get to the NBA. And so it's tough on us fans. It's obviously very difficult for the coaches too, because they need to recruit their own players every year. Again, the guys that are trying to, they want to return, recruit the portal, recruit, Division III and Division II programs, along with junior colleges and high schools. And as with what Tony likes to do, build and develop a team based on getting these players through your program, that doesn't happen so much anymore, because a lot of guys they're on a one-year deal, and they're there, and then they're looking for their better option, whether it's moving upward because they've played their way into it, or moving to a spot where they have more opportunity to play, let's call it downward. And we've seen examples of both. So to say, to give the statement of what college basketball is now, I mean, that's kind of how it is, and we have to kind of get used to it. Yeah, hopefully there is some regulation to some of the player movement and all that, but we have to buy into our program more than buying into players as stars within those programs.
I got to tell you, okay, he's not kidding about knowing. Okay, I'm going to throw this at him, and I'll bet you he gets it. Jeff, name me the top 7 players for the University of Kentucky in 1995.
Yeah, 95, 96 team.
Yeah.
Yeah, Walter McCarty, Ron Mercer, Antoine Walker, Anthony Epps, Derek Anderson, Mark Pope. They were loaded. They were loaded. That in my opinion, the most talented basketball team that of my lifetime. And they had, I think, 8 guys that were NBA players at one point. It was wild.
And I still think it's funny at their banquet when they this is a true story. At their team banquet at the end of the year, they won the national championship. Rick Pitino, the whole that was an atmosphere, like 20,000 people
right.
playing. But anyway, at the banquet, they fans got to ask questions, and I forget who it was. They asked, best player you played against all year, and he goes, didn't he say, Jeff, the white guy from Green Bay?
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Hey,
that's,
Jeff.
That's funny. That's funny. I don't know that I've heard that.
Oh, no, that was true. And it was the same guy. He told me, because he had gone to Kentucky. He was part of the thing. And he actually brought me back the Sports Illustrated article with Rick Pitino's autograph he got for it. But anyway, with Rick Pitino, something else. I'll never forget this game, exhibition game at the Old Brown County Arena. And Pitino was coaching the Celtics. And, Jeff, you were with the Bucks.
That's right.
How many did you score that game?
I had 13 that game, made my first 6 shots. One of them was a 3-point shot. Pitino was the coach for the Celtics at Brown County. Fans were cheering loud for me, obviously. And it was probably the game that locked up my opportunity to play for the Bucks that year, being able to show what I can do against the Celtics. And it helped that it was on our Brown County arena floor.
Jeff, okay, switching gears here again. I know you're still a big booster for UW Green Bay. You're trying to work through all this stuff with the big money and everything. Where are we at? What can we do to make Green Bay basketball? I'm never going to say what it was, but to really be competitive in a weird world of college basketball these days, what can we do to help restore that?
Right, yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is to follow the team, meaning, come to the games and all that. There's certainly a lot of options for giving back to the program and whatnot, whether it be to the Phoenix Fund, to the 1969 Club, or even into the NIL Collective. But the biggest thing is to come to the games and show support, because that definitely helps in recruiting and gives the GB Phoenix a better atmosphere in which to play to try to win games. I don't know that we'll ever get back to the heyday of the Bennett era. I'm not talking about success necessarily. I'm talking about fan support, and that's not because we can't be great, But there's so many other things going on nowadays that pull people in different directions. When I was playing, back in the early to mid 90s, there wasn't youth basketball tournaments every weekend, and there wasn't all the other things you could do. It was Packers season, and when they're done, it was Green Bay Phoenix season, and so we were the thing to do on a Saturday. Friday, Saturday yeah. night or Thursday night or whatever it was, we were the thing. So I don't know if it's ever going to get back to that. But as we saw last year with what Sundance did, not this year, but right. the last year, we can still get to battle for the top of the conference and then potentially find ourselves in a spot to get back to the NCAA tournament. That option is still there. But coming out to watch the team is the best way to support right now.
And Jeff, I think having people like you
yeah.
as kind of a sounding board for
yeah.
that,
gotta have that,
and you are around, that's another thing. You yep. know, we see people that are out and about and talk about the program and still talk about it with confidence. We need that, and I personally thank you for that.
Oh, thanks, Mike. As I said, there's a lot of things pulling people in different directions. I don't get to as many games as I want because I'm going to my son's games up at Michigan Tech and all that. But when he's done playing, he's got one more year left, then I expect I will be at nearly every home Phoenix game and then try to get to some road games. They mean a lot to me, the Green Bay Phoenix program in general, and I want to see it get back to a level of success where it is something that people look forward to do.
Jeff Norgard, I can't thank you enough for getting up early for us, buddy.
Thank you, Jeff.
No problem. I thanks for having me.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Early in-person voting officially got underway yesterday in Wisconsin for the April 1st election. From now until March 30th, residents will be able to cast their ballots for the critical state Supreme Court and state superintendent elections. The April ballot will also feature a statewide referendum on whether a voter ID requirement should be added to the state constitution. There are also a number of local races and school referendums in Oshkosh and West De Pere. Residents should check with their local clerk for information on when and where in-person early voting is available to them. Police now have the identity of the skeletal remains found in the town of Leon in Washera County last week. The remains were identified with the help of the Washera County Examiner's Office and the Wisconsin Department of Justice's Division of Criminal Investigation. Washera County Sheriff Wally Zulke said the identity will be released to the public at a later date.
1 minute.
Outagamie County Sheriff's officials arrested 49-year-old Jake Reinhardt of Green Bay Tuesday in connection to the overdose death of a 43-year-old in Freedom in November. Police say Reinhardt supplied the fentanyl that resulted in the death. Reinhardt is charged with first-degree reckless homicide, delivery of drugs. The Brown County Drug Task Force and the Green Bay Police Department helped with the investigation. Governor Tony Evers' proposed 2025-27 capital budget includes $137.5 million for renovations at UWO's Polk Learning Commons. State Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim said she toured the library in February, and the project is essential for the university's and its students' success. Polk Learning Commons was built in 1962, and a wing was added in 1969. The renovations would reduce overall square footage, improve accessibility and energy efficiency, and save the university $52,000 annually. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. The Mayor, of course, as I mentioned, possibly incarcerated in Haiti because of a shuffleboard incident on his cruise. We don't want to talk too much about that until we get more information. Have you heard anything more?
Just that his passport and visa were confiscated, and there's a really good chance he is not going to be allowed back into the U.S.
So Mino and Mike is probably going to be the show.
I didn't want to say anything. I know the young lady yesterday did a great job.
Mino and Moran.
Yeah, so maybe every other day or something.
All right. Well, anyway, let's talk a little bit about what we got going on right now. We're talking Wisconsin United girls soccer. Mike, this is in your wheelhouse. Take it away, my brother.
Well, These folks, and I'm not talented, but these soccer young ladies are incredibly talented, and we've got Coach Rhodes here, and a couple. I want to try to get the names right. Anna Picard, is that right?
Yeah.
And Aubrey Scher. All right.
Nice.
From De Pere in Appleton North. Now this team.
And Suamico. Somebody said
we've got ladies from. A lot
it's
of
almost
different
like a
schools.
Gang thing when I was asking the different schools and they're like representing and doing these signs.
One of the things I know about soccer in northeastern Wisconsin, my boys played, but when you've got a group, this is...
Is it your cousin?
Yes, my cousin Katie Vandenhoven is now the new head coach at St. Norbert College. So maybe someday she could recruit one of you young ladies or more of you to play. But when you're talking
about...
How
good was she?
She was just the leading scorer, I think, in the history of NCAA
you know about
women's
that, right, Dusty?
Soccer. Yeah. And we're pretty proud of her, and we're going to support that St. Norbert program quite a bit. But when, John, when the ladies walked in this studio this morning, you could see a couple of things. Number one, energy, athletic. And probably pretty good because the confidence level when they walked through the doors, besides the giggling, but I think they were giggling at John, was pretty impressive.
Todd, what does that mean? All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd. Coach Rhodes, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the exciting times for your team.
Yeah, it's an amazing adventure that these both teams have been on. First teams north of Milwaukee to advance this far in the USYS soccer. So
heading to Orlando for the national championships.
Correct. Yep. We get to go to warm Orlando in end of July after being in Arizona and Texas over the last 2 months. So.
Where in Arizona?
Where were we, ladies?
Mesa.
I went to Arizona State College University. Yeah.
Recruited.
Yeah, I was recruited there.
I'm sure you went there because it was warm. We went there, it was 40 degrees in January.
Was it really? Yeah, people don't realize that. The desert can get pretty cold. Now, tell me about the level of soccer that you guys play, like the competition that you guys go against. It's pretty amazing. I mean, this is like the upper echelon, isn't it?
Yeah, the competition, like...
And you're Anna, right?
I'm Aubrey.
Aubrey, okay.
Yes.
I get A names mixed up all the time, so go ahead.
The competition, like, increases every time we play, but I just feel like our team is so connected that we usually pull through.
But, I mean, when you see the entire nation and the best soccer players for your age on the field, you guys got to bring it strong every time you step out there, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Can you talk about that? Aubrey? Are you Aubrey or Anna?
I'm Anna.
I told you I got them mixed up all the time. So you're Anna. Go ahead, Anna.
Name tags, please.
I know, right?
I'll get that next time. Thanks.
I know. Todd?
Yeah, it's really cool that we get to like play against these teams, and we keep up pretty well, which is pretty impressive.
I was Coach? Just say, yeah, you know, the quarterfinals, they, you know, just to give some text, right? There's three quarterfinals, and then, you know, obviously both teams were able to advance to the semis, and you know, the national championship is just the top 12 teams in the country. So
wow.
You know, to have two from Northeast Wisconsin and from the same club is pretty amazing.
That's incredible, isn't it? In the nation, how did soccer in this? I mean, you wouldn't think of Northeast Wisconsin being a soccer mecca because the seasons are so short, obviously. But and I will say this though, and Tori, who's coming in from the Press Times, I tell her, and she's from California. I go, I've never been colder covering a sporting event than out at UW-Green Bay, a women's soccer game with that wind coming off the bay and everything. So, you know, California play year-round. It's, you know, beautiful weather. How did soccer become, especially at the girls' level, the women's level, how did soccer become so high level here in this part of the world?
Well, a lot of blessed athletes in this area for the girls' side, and a lot of dedication and hard work by a lot of these ladies and other ladies that have kind of built in the past, and we've continued to build on it. I mean, the work that they put on, it's a 12-month, you know, round the year sacrifice from the families.
Mention the families too, the parents.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to have dedicated families there. I mean, like I mentioned, you know, January 21st, right? We were in Arizona, and then all of a sudden you advance, and it's like, hey, turn around 4 weeks later, we got to be in Texas. You know,
wow.
Go ahead and make it work. And, you know, and the girls are, you know, just in their other sports schedule to make it happen. So it's a lot of, you know, cooperation to make it work.
I heard you guys wrecked a bunch of hotel rooms on one of the trips. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Go a little nuts at times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rockstar like.
How much fun is that traveling around the country, being an elite team? Like, I mean, I hope you guys appreciate that. I don't think I appreciate what I did when I was 16 or 17 or whatever year. You guys appreciate it and just soaking it all in?
Yeah. I mean, going out to dinner like every night or spending time in hotel rooms, like, it's probably the most fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Who is, I assume that you've played some international matches. Have you played against teams from other countries yet?
We have not had the opportunity to do that yet, no. But, like, I mean, we've played, like, Pennsylvania, you know, Louisiana, Texas, you know. What are some other areas that we've played?
I could be wrong. I feel like we put a Arizona team.
Arizona, New York, you know.
But, again, these are teams that can play outside every single day of the year.
Yeah.
Versus you guys have to find places to practice and things like that, right?
Yeah, it's very difficult during, like, high school season when we're coming out of high school season and they're just starting club season.
Yeah.
So...
The girls love to practice outside in 40-degree weather.
I'm sure.
They're always thankful that I continue to let them practice.
Well, and look at and take a look, John. Look at the jacket he's wearing.
I know,
thick. He gets to wear that.
He's like a snowmobile suit.
Right.
Yeah.
What would be, if you had to, and this is really for anybody, but if you had to pick one team that's been your toughest team to play so far,
yeah, where it's like, oh, we got them today. Yeah.
I would say Michigan Tigers.
Okay.
Or a team, I feel like Michigan has always kind of topped us off.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And the 08s, they have a little special feeling for the Steel City.
Pittsburgh?
Country. Oh, yeah.
Pittsburgh team. Yeah. So.
I saw your eyebrow.
It just seems like they would be mean. Are they mean?
Yes.
Okay.
A little rough? Does it get a little intense?
Yeah, it got a little physical.
Good.
They like to say hi to each other a lot.
Yeah, we do like to say hi to one girl on the team.
And by saying hi, what do you mean by that?
Hi, CC. Like just say hi to them.
But in a bad way. I mean, not a bad way. I mean,
definitely a sarcastic way.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mino knows all about that.
Oh, yeah. I do that every day with Ty.
Yeah,
exactly.
He fits into that.
Yes, absolutely.
What are your goals? What are your dreams? I mean, everybody would love to play for the United States Olympic team, obviously, but women's soccer has become such a popular sport around the country. Tell me about some of the goals, the dreams you guys all have.
I think we, for this team, we're going to try to, like, travel farther. Obviously, we're on a high level already. We'd like to stay there and, like, keep growing our, like, level of competition that we can play at.
Do you all want to play college?
I would, yeah. And yeah. I would assume most of our team.
We already have one commit to Milwaukee.
Oh.
And a bunch of us are looking for college. Where a bunch of us are doing recruiting processes right now.
Wow. That's got to be fun when you get a letter from a college.
Yeah, definitely. A bunch of my teammates are juniors. So being a sophomore... kind of helps out.
Phenomenal.
John, imagine the NIL money they can ask for.
Oh, yeah. You guys going to get some of that?
Possibly.
That would be fun. I'll tell you what, people don't realize, though, how physical that sport is. Women go after one another, don't they? I mean, I used to watch my niece play, and it was like, wow, that is... Don't just follow the ball. Watch what else is happening on that pitch.
And so with that... With that in mind, I've got to ask the question. Do we have an enforcer on your team? Do you have someone who...
Yeah, who's the bad guy?
Is there someone in this group that mm-hmm. gets after it a little bit?
I'd say Veda Susek on our team.
Which way is she
physical.
Here?
She's not here.
Okay.
She's in high school.
Okay. All right. But I mean, there are people on other teams that just go out to be almost like villains, aren't they?
Yeah, we have Addie Reith on our team. Actually just started boxing, so...
Is she here?
Oh, no, she is not.
Wow, good. Thank you.
Definitely helps our team out a lot with the physicality.
You got to have an enforcer.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, it's almost like in the NHL or in hockey at any level, you got to have that person where it's like if somebody's going to mess with you, you got to have somebody that will mess with them.
Yeah, yes. Back obviously when we were younger and played, right, we all had enforcers and I had one. And, you know, it's a little different than you could put them on the ground and do things.
Right.
Nowadays, you have to be a little sneakier about how they go about it.
But they're even talking, like even like Caitlin Clark now for women's basketball, they brought in that Cunningham, I think is her name. And it's like anybody messing with Caitlin Clark, she's going to be the one that you're going to have to deal with. with.
Yeah, there's always got to be consequences, right? If you mess with the top players.
Kind of like the Carlson brothers. Remember the Carlson brothers?
No. No.
Slapshot.
Oh, slapshot.
Put on the foil.
Man, all these old references.
Old school hockey. Come coach. On. Man. Wow.
Old references. That's the new name of this show. Yeah, old references with John Mino.
I'm just kidding.
Wow. What kind of training do you guys do in the off season? In fact, do you have an off season or is it almost year round?
It is almost year round. We practice inside on turf fields in the winter and Capital Credit Union Stadium, which is like a rockers field.
Yep. Which is a great place, huh?
Yeah.
But women's sports, like when I'm so old, it was just starting in high school, when I was in high school, and they never would have thought about lifting weights and all these kind of things. Tell us about the off-the-field training you have to do to be at this elite level that you guys are at.
Yeah, well, for high school, we're in the weight room at least once a week.
Wow.
And then for club, I think having practices 3 times a week basically gets us fit enough.
Sure.
I mean, we don't really have a facility for weightlifting, but there's always like separate, we always do like Synergy for some girls up in Green Bay. And for off season, we don't really have one, maybe like a month off here and there.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got to be so all in. And after, so you know that because you're family, Mike, but
right.
You even knew it with UW Green Bay when you were there, how the soccer team, especially the men's soccer team at the time, was, you know, kind of like a nationally recognized program. And the effort they put in, nobody saw that.
It's not just the players; it's the coaches. I mean, the coaches. And to your point earlier about the family,
yeah,
we've got to recognize all the people that are involved.
Yeah. All right, we got to start a quick break. Stay with us. We're with one of the best soccer teams you'll ever find in your life. They're heading to Orlando for the national championship. Wisconsin United FC girls soccer. Back with more right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Todd! Tough crowd.
I know, that's why I'm staying in here.
Tough crowd.
Yeah, I know.
Tough crowd.
Yep.
Tough crowd.
Hey, before I forget, something very important. So we've got a whole studio full of young ladies who work very, very hard, and they're great athletes, great students, great coaches. We got some wonderful parents outside. This group is going to be down in Orlando in July. Some of their games, or maybe all of them, will be on.
How hot is that going to be? Orlando, which is
hold on, John. Some of their games are going to be on the family of ESPN networks and televised. So
awesome.
Maybe if we find out along the way what that is,
oh, without question,
we'll share that. But let's promote it. Let's celebrate these folks and enjoy what they're doing.
Absolutely, and that's what we're just talking to the break way back when Mike and I were young and being on the road with Green Bay basketball and everything like that. And you guys mentioned that too about how much fun it is just traveling and going to these hotels and different restaurants and everything like that. But what people don't realize, you've paid a price. I mean, you've earned these type of things. Talk about your careers, just when you started soccer, how much time and effort you and your families have put into it, and what it takes to get to this level. I'm sorry, what's your first name?
Serene.
Serene? Hi, Serene. What does it take to get to this level of elite soccer?
Well, I started off when I was 4 playing Pulaski Rec soccer, so it wasn't that much of a big deal. It was kind of small little area. And I think just growing up and advancing to new levels and just like training harder every day and every month, every year to get to these levels. And it's kind of what it takes, I feel like.
But it took that effort since you were 4 years old. And what's your first name?
Aubrey.
Oh, that's right. You were here before. So Aubrey, I know, Mike. Oh, there's Tori. Good. Mike, I want Tori to step in real quick. Okay. Tori from the Press Times, because Tori is a D1 scholarship player. Tori, this is totally your wheelhouse, Wisconsin United. We're just talking about what it takes to get to that level and how many kids wanted to be at that level but kind of fell by the wayside or whatever. You tell me what these young ladies have all sacrificed and what they've done to be at this stage to go to the national championships.
I mean, I've seen it firsthand. It takes a lot nowadays. A lot of sacrifice, a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, and it's not for everybody. I mean, I've played with tons of players. I've seen tons of players who give it everything, and it's like there's all this drive to get a D1 scholarship somewhere or go wherever, go on to the next level, and then they get there and are like, I'm burnt out, I don't want to do it anymore. So it's definitely not for everyone, but I mean, if that's what you want to do and you're committed to it, it's there's definitely still a path to get there.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, there were probably kids when you guys were 4 years old or 5 years old that were maybe better soccer players, better athletes, but they didn't have that extra gear to kick in is what you need to separate yourselves, correct?
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I played with girls in college too who maybe had it, but it wasn't a priority for them at all times. And I mean, I've played with girls who were really good and deserved to be there, but they decided they'd rather drink and party and have the college experience and everything. So I mean, it's definitely just deciding what is important to you and applying yourself.
What advice do you have for these young ladies?
I would say whenever somebody asks me what my advice is to younger athletes, I always say that it's about having confidence in yourself, because that's the number one factor. Is I can always tell when a player is good or, well, most of the time I can tell when a player is good or not good based on how they carry themselves, because that really translates from your life into on the field. So every once in a while you get some girl who's really shy and really quiet, and then she's just a beast out on the field. But most of the times you can tell just by looking at a girl if she carries herself with confidence and everything in everything that she does, how she interacts with people, then it usually translates to how they play on the field.
Do you ever play a team like they played from Pittsburgh that were really mean?
all the time. Oh, yeah.
What do you do about that?
We played, actually, when I was at GB, we played, I believe it was Cleveland State, and they had a fan center behind the net, and they would look up girls on my team, they would look up our Instagrams and like call us out for personal stuff and like talk about our boyfriends and stuff like that. So it definitely gets personal. You just can't let it get to you. I mean, a lot of times I also played with a lot of girls who would just say like, I black out when I'm in the games. Like I am so in the zone that I don't even hear any of it.
Well, that's kind of funny because we had Jeff Norgard on, you know, second best basketball player, I guess you'd say, behind Tony Bennett, ever play at Green Bay. And we were talking about that great atmosphere where it's hard to say, but 30 years ago today, basically, they're playing Syracuse in the second round of the NCAAs, and we were talking about the atmosphere and the different fans, and he said, when he was on the court, he never realized that. It's just, you get so focused.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, some people say like, oh, I only hear my parents' voice, because like they're so in tune to that, and some people say, I don't hear anything, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dusty, they only hear your voice during the course of the game?
They've learned to tune me out, like the best way to put it.
Well, let me ask you this. You talked about this level, and you got to be proud of yourself, but what does it take now? Okay, you're at an elite level, and you all don't want to just stay there. You want to go a step beyond. You've done all this work. What's next? What's going to take you to your ultimate level of wherever, and what is it, a scholarship, college scholarship, or where do you guys want to be, and what's going to take to get to that next step?
I think the next step is, I mean, going to college for my age group. A bunch of us are, again, trying to get the recruitment. But I just think maintaining, like, our leadership on the field, all of us have to lead in one way or another. And especially at this level, like, no one can slack off. If you're slacking off, then, like, why are you here? If you don't want it, then why are you on this team?
Wow, that's cool, Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just going to say, like, we're trying to constantly encourage them that, you know, everyone's always asking what's next and what's next. But as you talk about your experiences in sports, right, it's try to enjoy the moment, right?
Absolutely.
You know, like, you know, the things that they've done already to accomplish this, right? And, you know, go ahead and just enjoy this trip and this opportunity, and we'll worry about what's next after, you know. Everyone's always focused on what's coming up next now. So.
And by the way, when I was talking about recruiting, about how much fun that must be to get a letter from a college, do they even send letters anymore to me?
Oh, it's all email, phone calls now.
That takes away some of the fun. Oh, man. All right. Well, ladies, it was wonderful having you here. We're going to follow you all the way through. If there's anything we can do to help support you, please let us know. I mean, it's a privilege for us to have such elite young athletes who are so dedicated to a sport in the studio with us. We really appreciate that, and all the confidence in the world take to that tournament, okay?
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're all very welcome. We got to set a quick break. We'll be back with Tori from the Press Times after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.